In the verse number 13, we read again that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. How can someone lay down his life for his friends? The Apostle Paul says in one place that he's dying every day. Every day there were new challenges, new obstacles he could see ahead of him on the path that he was treading, being guided and led by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, I would think, beloved, that that's one of the ways, or perhaps the only way, to lay down my life for my friends. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ laid down His life in a way that none of us could do. And none of us is ever expected to do it in His way. None of us should take upon ourselves the sin of anyone else. None of us has the power to suffer as much as an equal volume as deserved by the sin of any of our friends. In this life, beloved, we cannot even suffer so much as to redeem our own sin, not a single sin. For the reward for sin is death. And yet, even if we would die for our friends, we could not redeem their souls from their sins. It's just impossible. Because an offering for sin had to be without blemish. And we are not. The true offering for our redemption was perfect. And we are far from perfection. Our Lord and Savior laid down His life upon that altar of divine justice to redeem us from our sins. First, from the power of our sin, to give us the strength to overcome sin and not to be overcome by sin. Second, to give us that life everlasting away from the presence of sin. And perhaps third, to make us free in that endless, blessed eternity, to make us free from the presence of sin. For even though we are made free in Christ, made free to live separated from sin, to be free in Christ, and even though we have the promise of everlasting life, which is the freedom from the consequences of sin, yet still sin is everywhere around us. And as long as we are in this flesh, that sin that is in the world is battling against our faith and trying and striving to enter in into our heart. Our Lord and Savior laid down His life that we may live in Him, in Christ. How shall we lay down our lives for Him. How shall we secure that friendship? In such a manner as we find somewhere in the Proverbs, a verse I think says that a friend that is nearby in sufferings is better than a brother far away. Or in the manner that says that, as we find in another verse that says that there are friends that are better than a brother. Perhaps referring to the brothers that did not live in love and in peace, like Abel and Cain, like Jacob and Esau, like Joseph and his brethren, like Solomon and Adonijah. As Paul the Apostle said that he died every day. Every day anew he was in a way born or renewed, refreshed. Every day again, whenever there was any testing, any trial, he would overcome and reaffirm that decision that Christ is all in all to him. So, we lay down our life on that altar of faith when we live day by day in Christ. Not to redeem Him as He has redeemed us, but to express our gratitude for His redemption of our souls. We also lay down our life when we keep nothing back, when everything is given to the Lord. And if the Lord will appoint for us some suffering, if He is asking us to be patient and to endure, then we do it willingly, for He is the one that provides strength and help needed. And in that suffering, in that patience, we do not make our own limits. That means we lay down our life for the greatest friend that there ever was, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we are willing to suffer until death, and death included. Now the Lord says that the disciples are His friends if they do whatsoever He commanded to them. Generally speaking, or universally speaking, there is nothing that He commanded them and excluded us. In particular, there are commandments that He did command them and did not command us. And perhaps the commandments that He did command to us and did not command to them. None of us is commanded to go out to the water and drop down a hook and catch a fish and find a coin in the mouth of the fish. Perhaps none of the apostles was commanded to do some of the little things that we do around here. There are differences in different times. But in the nature of the commandments, we have the same commandments that he delivered to his disciples, his apostles. And the Lord also said that he is the master and we are all the brethren. So he said, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. There are the commandments that are for us all. And there are the commandments that are for each individual. And we are true friends of the Lord. That friendship is truly preserved and growing if we keep them all. You see. One that received the talent is commanded to work with that and to multiply. None of us is commanded to multiply the talents of the others, even though we often try to do that. But each one is commanded to multiply those talents that he or she received from the Lord. None of us is commanded to judge a servant of another person, even though we might try to do that wrongly. But each one is commanded to examine his or her own self. So there are commandments that are individual and the commandments that are general. If one is disobeying a general commandment, sooner or later, and probably sooner, the others will notice that. But if any one of us will disobey those particular personal commandments, refusing the guidance of the Lord, the others may not know that. But we will find out. For no one can serve two masters. And if we happen to be our own masters, we are on the losing side. There is one safe and good and perfect master. He is the one that said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. The Lord wants us to understand his will, not to be blind, not to read the word of God out of the context, not to read the word of God and make commandments that do not harmonize with the rest of the scripture. He wants us to understand, and he did command us to understand. He opened the understanding of his disciples to understand the scripture. To us, he has given the written word of God, the time and efforts to learn, to pray, and to understand. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And it will always be. Even in our limited understanding, even as weak as we may see our faith, when we ask anything in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as he had instructed us, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, that prayer will be answered, and he will give us what we need. Then, again, verse 17, these things I command you, that ye love one another. Now that's one general commandment. One commandment that is given to every Christian, to every believer, every child of God. And yet, as universal this commandment is, it is just as particular. Whom shall I love? Would be easier to answer whom I should not love, for there is no such a person. In the world, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world, the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. You see the difference here between hatred and hatred. Even though all the hatred is of the world, and yet everyone that hates his brother is a murderer. But the hatred from the world is of a different kind in its practice, in the method that the enemy is using to bring against us the hatred of the world. The hatred of the world may appear to be loving, kind, attractive, enticing, as all human righteousness is as a filthy rag. So all the love of this world is a nasty hatred. But if we are confronted with the hatred in the world, we have this comfort that we are in Christ. And if there be any other reason, if we give a reason to the world to hate us, a reason that is not Christian, then we have a problem. Then we have some fellowship with the world. But if the only reason for their hatred is our Christian love, praise the Lord, we have the good part, the good inheritance, the promised land is ours. The Lord said that we should remember the word that he said unto us, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. It would be an awful thing if there be someone around us that keeps the saying of our Lord Jesus Christ and yet cannot keep our saying, if we demand something that is not in Christ, it would be a dangerous thing. And Satan would like to see that. If they have kept my saying, the saying of Christ, the word of God, then they will keep ours also. Which means that our teaching and our practice should be the teaching and the practice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if there be anything, as little as it may appear, that is not Christian in our life, Satan is going to find that. And that's the side and the point that he's going to attack. Not to make us free from that, no. But to make us weaker, more vulnerable, more endangered. Again, the Lord said, remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. We should not expect that the enemy is going to just, without our effort, be defeated before us. The greatest battle that there ever was the battle of our Lord against the enemy. And so is the victory, the greatest victory ever. And yet, if we are in Christ, the battle goes on as long as we are here in this world. And yet, when we are battling, when we are fighting with the strength that the Lord has given us, then we know we are in Christ. And even though we are surrounded by hatred in our heart, there is love and peace. And if we see that somehow we are growing weak and weary, that our peace is unstable and our love is not fervent, our Lord is not very far. He hears our prayers. That whatsoever we shall ask of the Father in his name, he may give it us. Then he said, if they have persecuted me, they also will persecute you. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. How awful and how threatening is that ignorance. In the beginning of this book, Gospel according to St. John, we read that he came to his own and they received him not. What does that mean? They know not him that sent me. They do not know the Father. And yet, the Hebrews did claim that they know God. Even more, they said that they are the only people of God. But the Lord said, if God was your Father, then you would have loved me. For I came from God, and I returned to him. So, if someone hates us because we are Christ's, that same person or the group of people have no right to claim that they are also Christ's. But we want to be very careful not to give any carnal reason, any unchristian reason to inflame their hatred. The Lord said, about this hatred, about the persecution. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And then, about the hatred of the world. He says in the verse number 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. Not sin in general. Because all the people have sin. All the people sin, and there is not one man that never sinned, other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If he had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had that additional sin of hatred and persecution, persecuting the righteous one. But now, they have no cloak, no covering, no excuse for their sin in general. Everything. He that hated me hated my Father also. Truly. No one can hate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and love the Father. And the same way, no one can hate anyone that is in Christ and love the Father. And then again he says, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. They did both see and hate not only the Lord Jesus Christ, but also the Father, whom they said was their God. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. And here is a little reference, Psalm 35:19. And the Lord says that it is written in their law. Apparently, the Lord is saying that the Hebrews did respect, or at least they said they did respect, the books of Moses and the Psalms as the law of God. Perhaps some other books, maybe at least some of the prophecies. And yet, that same law that they labeled as their own did condemn their hatred. Hating our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes in a few different ways. One is open and active confrontation. Animosity. The other one is just quietly refusing the calling of the Lord. And the third one is fulfilling some of his commandments and refusing the others. All of that is hatred. For we read in the scripture that the same God that hath commanded, murder not, also said, do not commit adultery. And if one would not murder, but does commit adultery, he hates God who gave the commandment and is guilty of the whole law, because it's one law. So as the law was one, and the trespass or transgression of any of the commandment was against the whole law, so our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is one Savior and one teacher. We are all disciples. And when one of us would trespass or transgress or just leave out one of our Lord's commandments, whether it be general, universal, or personal, he is guilty of trespassing the Word of God, the message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, if I say a mean word to my servant, though I don't have any, but for example, it's not a nice thing, it's a bad thing. If I say a mean word to a child that does not understand yet the words, it's a small, tiny baby, it's a bad thing. Because that shows my attitude. What is inside comes out. If I say the same mean word to my ruler or my king, that trespass, that transgression is much greater. You see, the guilt, the weight of my sin is so great, so awful, because it's against God, who is so great, so awesome. So the Lord says that in the hatred of the world against Christ, and we can say against all those that are in Christ, through that hatred, the law, their law, is fulfilled. In this case, the law of the Hebrews. They hated me without a cause. Actually, this was God's law given to the people of Israel. It was fulfilled in their hatred. You see, the Word of God, even today, is fulfilled in the world, in their resistance to the Word of God. The Word of God should be fulfilled in our life, in our obedience, our faithfulness, and our zeal for the Lord. The world hates Christ without a cause. We should love the Lord, for we have a cause. We have a great reason to love Him and to serve Him. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now, how shall he testify? Verse 27, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Now, the time is rather short again. But please bear with my inability to say something more in less time. The Comforter. Why do we need a Comforter? Why did the disciples need a Comforter? The Lord said, when they persecute you, when they say all kind of evil things about you, slander you, rejoice and leap for joy. Why do they need a Comforter in addition? Or will it be in addition? Is there any real joy without the comfort of this Comforter? in the world there is tribulation. And even if we had around us so-called friends, see, there is no friend in the world. But there are the people that are friendly, humanly speaking. And yet they're in the world. The friendliest friends in the world are still enemies. Because they don't follow Christ. They want us to follow them, to join them. That's not love, that's hatred. When Peter said to the Lord, God forbid, that shall never happen to thee, to surrender into the hands of the sinful man and be crucified and so on. The Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan. The Lord did not take that as friendship. For Peter rebuked the Lord. No friendship is friendship if it's above the word of God. If anyone wants to take the word of God in his hands and modify it, he's an enemy, even to his own self and to the others whom he or she would like to influence with that twisted and perverted word that is not the word of God anymore. We need that comforter. And there is no comfort without the presence, without the influence of that comforter. The Lord sends that one from the Father, the Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Son makes us the children of the Heavenly Father. He proceeded from the Father and testifies of Christ, the presence of Christ in our life. The lordship of our Master. We become the followers of Him. And how else that Spirit of the Lord will testify? Through our witness. We also bear witness because, can we say this? We have been with the Lord from the beginning. Well, the apostles were with the Lord from the beginning. From the beginning of His public ministry. But really, were they with Him all the time? What is the beginning? In the beginning was the Word. Just as in the beginning God created heaven and earth and all, the whole creation, so those are true disciples of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that are with Him from the beginning, in whose heart the Lord has began that new life and is guiding and leading that life on and on. There are others that do not start from the beginning. Perhaps a modern example would be someone who starts to study the Word of God from the Revelation instead of from the beginning of the Gospel. And so instead of a repented heart, we have a proud teacher that is speaking as clinging metal, a dead sound. There is no life. And the Lord said, by their fruits you shall know them. How important for us is that we proclaim the gospel, but first that we have the fruits of that Spirit. The love of God. The love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is manifested toward us in that He laid down His life for us, that we also may lay down our life on the same altar as a peace offering, as a burnt offering, as an offering of love and gratitude. And then that comforter will testify, and we shall witness, and the Lord will be honored and glorified, even though we are weak and small. It is but so little, just perhaps in my great weakness I touched off the surface of that deep ocean of the love of God. May the Lord add His blessing to His word, and may He fill each individual heart and bless each soul here and everywhere, wherever two or three are gathered in His name. May His love be in our hearts, burning so warmly, so brightly, with so much of the heavenly delight, that even here we may have the pretaste of the heavenly glory, even in persecution, even in suffering, but in that unity in Christ that will never be broken. And to our Heavenly Father, from the depth of our hearts, glory and honor, worship and praise forever and ever. Amen.